Hello, and welcome to another special edition of the joint broadcast of the podcasts, The Cultural Hall and The Scriptures Are Real. I'm Kerry Muhlstein, the host of The Scriptures Are Real, and we're grateful that Richie Stedman would allow us to do this on The Cultural Hall as well. I have with me Dr. Andrew Skinner, and we are trying to give you a little bit to help you with your Easter focus and celebration of Easter on each day of what is known as the Passion or Holy Week. And today is Holy Wednesday. And it's a day that chronologically is a difficult day. Some people call it the empty or the blind day, but not everyone. And so maybe you can lead us through that a little bit, Dr. Skinner.
Well, thank you again for this opportunity to share these sacred things, really at the heart and soul of my testimony and witness. Wednesday is a problematic day. A chronology or a harmony that's used by Latter-day Saints by Thomas Mumford simply says we don't have any information about Wednesday. Other chronologies talk about Wednesday as a day where the conspiracy against Jesus that ultimately ends up taking Jesus's life is put into effect. Certainly, I think the opening verses, the beginning verses of Matthew 26, of Mark 14, and of Luke 22 are part of what happens on Wednesday. Luke 22, I think, is a helpful, the opening verses of Luke 22 are helpful in giving us an appreciation for the conspiracy that involves Judas Iscariot. And Luke 22 says that when the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is part of the Feast of Passover, dawns, the chief priests and the scribes are consulting with one another as to how to kill the Savior, and that's the word that's used in Luke 22. Because they fear the people. They don't want to cause an uproar among those that really do believe that Jesus is the Messiah, or certainly the prophet, a great prophet of Nazareth. And so they're trying to figure out how they can do this subtly. And it's at this point then that Luke says that at this juncture, Satan enters into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And that gives us pause. First of all, I think it's one of the most chilling verses in all of Scripture. Here we have a member of Jesus's close associates, the quorum of the 12, things that they've shared together. And now we find Judas Iscariot under the influence or control of the adversary. One would be tempted to view this as hyperbole, or Satan entered into Judas symbolically, the way he enters into all of us, I suppose, when we break the commandments. But that is mentioned also in the Gospel of John, that Satan entered into Judas. And so I think we at least have to consider the possibility that with these two witnesses, this did happen. And it seems to be possible from a doctrinal standpoint, because we know that Satan is a spirit person, and that spirits, unembodied spirits, can occupy the bodies of mortal beings, whether they're human beings or swine or other examples that we have in the Scriptures. At any rate, this sets the stage then for Judas coming to the chief priests and the captains, the conspiracy that has been fomenting since the time of Lazarus's being raised from the dead. And the covenant or the promise is made between the Jewish leaders and Judas Iscariot, and he does what he does for money, 30 pieces of silver. And verse 6 of chapter 22 says that he promises them and seeks opportunity then to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. That is probably as sure a witness as we have about the events of Wednesday, day four of Holy Week. And this is an important comment. This is important information because it sets the stage for what will happen on Thursday, Friday, of Holy Week.
Wonderful. And maybe we can just take a moment to, since there's not a lot recorded, if anything, on Holy Wednesday, to talk about another chronological problem that does have implications for Wednesday. And so this is looking forward a little bit in some ways and perhaps not. One of the difficulties that we have with establishing exactly when the Savior celebrated Passover, and the whole notion of Passover, is that the synoptic writers, so that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, according to them, they celebrate the Last Supper, which we usually commemorate on Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday, and that will be our next episode. But they have the Passover happening when the Savior is doing that Last Supper, and it is the Passover. However, John states that the Savior is killed on the cross at the same time that the Passover lambs are being slaughtered. So he has Passover being the next day. And it's difficult to know how to reconcile these things. Is it that John kind of just said, he chose that chronology because it worked so well with his Lamb of God symbolism? Or is it that the synoptic writers felt like, well, no, he's celebrating this on the Passover, so that has to be the Passover? We don't really know. One solution that not very many people hold to, but it was the first place I read it suggested, was a great scholar named Barjil Pixner. I know of others who kind of subscribe to this, and on some days I lean slightly towards this. Is Barjil Pixner suggests, well, we know that there are some groups in Judaism who felt that the calendar that was being observed by other Jews was incorrect. And some of them would hold Passover actually on the day before most of Judaism held Passover. And so is it possible that the Savior chose to celebrate Passover on that day when the day before everyone else was celebrating Passover, and that may explain why he says, with great desire, if I desire to celebrate this Passover with you? And maybe he's talking about not just this year's Passover, but this specific day is Passover. And that allowed him to celebrate Passover when some were, and yet be slain when most people were slaying their Passover lambs. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it's a handy solution for me in terms of what to do on Holy Wednesday, because there is so much reading to do for the Passover day. If we're going to look at all the fantastic teachings in John 13 through 17. And of course, to then read about what happens in Gethsemane and so on, it seems to me worth it to spread that over 2 days anyway. And since I just don't know whether I should think of Wednesday as Passover or Thursday as Passover, we will celebrate Thursday as Passover. That's how the Holy Week or the Passion Week goes. But I personally like to start reading the fantastic teachings of John, which part of my book, Easter Connection, is based on those teachings about the Holy Ghost and about unity with Christ and so on. I like to start reading those on Wednesday. So that's just my own personal solution for how to celebrate or commemorate on Holy Wednesday.
Interesting. A piece of the puzzle that probably ought to be considered too is Josephus's comment that Passover during this time was celebrated on 2 days simply because of the number of animal sacrifices that were sacrificed in the temple. And he talks in terms of 250,000 animals being sacrificed during Passover season. And
Yeah.
certainly you couldn't do that in one day, and I doubt that you could do that in 2 days. But there is that external witness, external evidence to consider as well, and how that all fits in. I know that many people have tried to reconcile the synoptics with John's gospel and ultimately end up throwing up their hands just because there
Yeah.
are too many variables to bring into line. But I do love your suggestion about taking Holy Wednesday as a day to stop and regroup and to begin to appreciate tremendous events. And tremendous is not a throwaway word. The awesome events in the truest sense of the word that unfold on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it is too much to do in one day for those days. So, well, thank you. We hope that everyone can take this and think of something they can do to draw closer to our Father in heaven and thank Him more for His Son, Jesus Christ, and come to our Father through Christ. So thank you, Dr. Skinner.
Amen to everything you said. Thank you.